Okay, welcome. Fritz Berger at bloodandfaith.com. It's the weekend edition. It's the 16th of July, 2022. I am concerned. I'm concerned about the rapid destruction of the world that I grew up in and the planned, plotted, and programmed replacement of that world into a totalitarian society. You can call it the Great Reset. You can call it a flat earth. You can call it Build Back Better. You can call it the World Economic Forum, the United Nations. But there's people out there that are running it that hate me and everything I stand for. They hate the old world. They want control. They are in a cult. They believe in what they're saying. They absolutely believe in what they're doing. It's a cult. It's a belief system. It's a morality system. And the morality system goes like this. Think the way we think. Otherwise, you're insane and you have a demon. Now, translated into 2022 speak, it's your racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, anti-Semitic, and possibly even Islamophobic. And the project continues at a rapid pace. I have to tell you, I'm surprised. Congress, the Democrat Congress, added something into a recent National Defense Authorization Bill that demands the targeting of essentially white people. They call it white supremacy. They call it whatever, whiteness. Demonizing the very people that made this country. And I don't mean made the country great. I mean made the country in the first place from 400 years ago as they came over from England, largely, and birthed a nation in the wilderness here. European Christians. It's stunning. It's stunning. Now, why do they do this? On one hand, yes, it goes right back to Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And I've talked extensively about that, mentioning, for example, the targeting of Europeans with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's evidence in not only Paul's ministry, not only when Jesus Christ, the signal for Jesus Christ to go finish up his ministry was when the Greeks approached, I think it was Andrew, and said, we want to know the Christ. We want to see the Christ. And when that happened, Jesus said, okay, now it's time for me to complete my mission, die on the cross and be resurrected. And third, what language is the Bible written in after Jesus Christ rose from the dead? It's written in a European tongue. It's written in a European language. So there is that on a spiritual basis. It goes right back to that, absolutely. On the other hand, and this is a complementary, it's not on the other, it's also, they recognize that the only people that could stop this is if there's a resurrection and a revival amongst the traditional Americans. To extinguish this poison, to extinguish the lies. And I keep wondering, I said, how far do they have to push for us to fight back? And well, the answer for me is clear because I've started to push back. I started to push back several years ago. It became too great. It became impossible to ignore. And so I have stood to the front and raised my voice and refuted their lies. And so have a lot of other people. So have thousands and thousands of other people. And I'm hoping, and by the way, it's not just white people. I've seen other people that aren't white. They don't identify as white. And they said, y'all white people, you're silly. What are you putting up with this stuff for? Why are you putting up with this stuff? We don't want that. I'd be crazy to want this country to be devoid of whiteness and white culture and white people. I left someplace in order to get away from that, and I came to a white country because at one point you could figure out how to run things. Please don't abandon that. And so I'm really hoping that on the amongst traditional white Americans, and I believe it's there. I believe it's there. Enough of us are starting to wake up. And of course, once you wake up, well, you're a white supremacist and you're a Nazi. That's fine. That's fine. One of the things that I've tried to convince the church, especially, is that this is a war, and you either have submitted and surrendered to the enemy, or you're fighting. That's it. It's a lie to think that we can get along. Absolutely, it's been a lie from the first chapter of Genesis. little old Eve there said, well, I'm smarter than Adam. I can figure out how to get along, and we can get along, and it's all going to be just fine. No. No. And God Almighty put a curse between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent and said, there's going to be enmity, hatred even unto death. Unfortunately, the evangelical church has invented a new religion. I'm convinced that they have. They've invented a new religion that they control, that works for them, that keeps them at peace with the seed of the serpent, keeps them at peace with the world. They can have friendship with the world. And they've essentially betrayed Jesus Christ. I know, that's tough. Took me a long time to get there, but that's kind of where I'm at. And I'm hoping that there's a revival amongst the pastors, really amongst the pastors and the preachers, the people out there that they're the pastor. They've got to know something's wrong. And the question is, do you have the courage to admit it and face it and then speak about it and stand too? Because all hell will come after you. All hell will come after you. But all I can say is if you didn't sign up for that, I don't know. I don't understand. Do you really want to be a weak and passive person in the face of the spirit of the Antichrist? Is that your position in life? It shouldn't be. It certainly wasn't the position of Jesus Christ or his 11 faithful disciples. That was the goal of the traitor. That was the goal of Judas Iscariot, who simply took a reasonable stance. He did. In the eyes of the world, it was the only thing you could do that was reasonable and rational, non-divisive, uncontroversial, wasn't extremist. He just said, look, this is all a little crazy. I'll just point him out to you. That's all he did. He didn't stab him with a sword. He didn't testify him against him in a court of law. He didn't even publicly renounce him. All he said is, hey, there's Jesus. That's the guy. Treason, baby, treason. He was a traitor. Treason is not necessarily some radical change that you've made. It's just like, okay, I'm going to make this decision. I'm going to slip right into this. And I'm hoping that there's enough Christians and Christian pastors to wake up and really rally and raise a flag. It doesn't take a lot. The story of Gideon, as far as I'm concerned, is the watchword for this era. And I'm not the only one that said that. Other people have said the same thing. Gideon is the watchword for America, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Christendom in 2022. All right, we're not looking for famous people, guys. The famous people, they've sold out. They've made a treaty with the world. They're the reasonable people. They're the people that are not the extremist. And they're friends with the world. They got their little religious traditions that overrule the Word of God. That's fine. Man, let me tell you something. It was fine that Judas chose his way. That's the way he chose. But we're in an era that's extraordinarily exciting. Many, many, many of you have been bored out of your mind trying to figure out why. Well, the time is now. The era is now. The spirit of the Antichrist is there to be opposed. We've just said, well, I can't oppose the spirit of the Antichrist. You don't even recognize what it is. We've built up this whole tradition that we're going to fly away any day. The worse it gets, the happier we are because we're going to fly away. We've got no responsibility to oppose the spirit of the Antichrist. Oh, I know. Every once in a while, you're brave. I hear it in the pulpit. Oh, we're against, you know, we're against LGBTQ and homosexuality. And you think you're brave. That's good. Hey, listen, it's a start. There's a lot that we have to do. There's a lot we have to go. We got to wake up the church. It's going to take a few brave men to do that. We need to start praying the imprecatory psalms as congregations. A lot of you don't even know what that is. The imprecatory psalms. These are prayers inspired by the Holy Spirit of God that we ought to be praying over our nation, over our enemies. Oh, but we don't have any enemies. Oh, well, that's the problem, isn't it? Imagine that, entire congregations coming together, fasting and praying the imprecatory psalms over an evil politician. Imagine that, guys. Imagine that. The weapons are there. They've been laid out for us in the Holy Scripture. We're just afraid to use them because we might offend our enemies. Like I said, we've already bowed the knee. We've already bent the knee. We've already surrendered. It's wake-up time. Wakey, wakey. I used that term once and somebody said, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? Just what I'm saying. It's time to wake up. Especially the preachers, especially the pastors. You got to be bored out of your mind preaching the same sermon every, you know, rotated every 8 or 9 months for the last 15 years. Well, it's Easter again. Let's talk about Easter. Oh, it's Christmas. Let's talk. By the time you get through all that stuff and you talk about your other standard stuff, you know, and the world still goes to hell. That's the thing. The proof of the preaching is the condition of our societies. I'm telling you. The proof of the powerlessness of the church is the condition of our nations. The proof of our friendship with the world is the fact that most churches are at peace with the world. They got no issues whatsoever with the world. Oh, we live in a free country. We live in a pluralistic and diverse country. And the world doesn't care. Do your thing, man. You feed those poor people. You have your drum banging thing going on. You go ahead and have your men's prayer breakfast. And we've done it and done it and we've done it for 100 years and the country gets worse and worse and worse. Hello. Some things have to change. And I've wrestled with this. That's why I started writing. That's why I started teaching. That's why I started doing my blog and podcast. And I get into some really thorny and uncomfortable theological issues. And it's like, oh my God, you can't say that. Well, wait a minute. The master said that. This is what breaks my heart. The master said that, and we don't even see it. Because it's like our eyes glaze right over. And I don't want to see it, therefore I'm not going to see it. It's what the master said. Well, Jesus is a nice guy. Yeah, I know. That's what we've said for 100 years, and our societies go to hell. The preachers, you're going to have to wake up, and you're going to have to make some really hard decisions. And you can probably say this stuff better than I can, but you're going to have to get in there and make some decisions on what it's worth to you. I've written a lot about this stuff at bloodandfaith.com. As Politico said, it's provocative things, very provocative. Am I white positive? Absolutely. Unapologetically so. Was Paul not positive for his race of people? We've covered this, man. We covered this in Romans 9:10. Of course, loved his people. He's willing to give his eternal life for his own kin, his own kith. Unfortunately, you got pastors out there that well, we're not. We don't want to be. And they're trying to please the world. And they betray the word of God. And as a result, our countries are in the condition that our countries are in. And there's also a sense of cowardice. And let's, instead of thinking of a coward, think of somebody who is cowed. Cowed into submission, cowed into silence. Cowed into submission, cowed into silence. Well, I can't say this. This will happen to me. Hey, tell me about it. Tell me about it, brother. I know all about that, brother. You're right. It is going to happen to you. It is. Embrace it. Embrace it. Well, I don't know if that's God's will for me. Really? I think you need to get reacquainted with Jesus Christ. Maybe I shouldn't say that quite so facetiously, but I'm serious. What do you think he promised you? The question for me is, if that's normal Christianity, what's wrong with us as a church? If normal Christianity is to be called Beelzebul, what is wrong with the church? If normal Christianity is to pick up a cross and expect the worst, what's wrong with the church if we get along with the world as if it's nothing? Got your interfaith summits, your interfaith meetings, your interfaith prayer group. We are all one. We're all the children of Abraham. We're all this nonsense. Jesus Christ addressed that. Jesus Christ specifically addressed this heresy that we are all the children of Abraham. He went right to the Jews, and he told them, do not say that you're the children of Abraham, because he can raise up rocks to be children of Abraham. Do not say that. They said, well, our father's Abraham. And Jesus said, your father is the devil. He says, my father's God. Your father's the devil. I and the Father are one. And they pick them up, pick up rocks to throw at them. That's a perfect example of normal Christianity. You think it's extreme? It's not. It's called the enmity from Genesis 3:15. It's a perfect example of normal Christianity. They ought to hate your guts because you're repeating exactly what the Master said, Jesus Christ said. But we won't go there because we've been taught that there's this tradition of man. And this is unless we deal with this, we're going to be trapped forever. I'm telling you, unless we deal with these traditions of men, we will be trapped forever, and we will always be slaves and in submission. And in submission to the evil one, not into submission to Jesus Christ. If you want to have freedom, you're going to have to rebel. You're going to have to rebel against the spirit of the Antichrist. But our religious traditions have said, well, you can't rebel against the spirit of Antichrist because they're going to call you insane and have a demon. Oh, nobody calls me that. Oh, yeah, no, listen, you go down the road I've gone down, and you know, you're a Nazi and you're a racist. White supremacist. Why? Because I'm quoting the Holy Scriptures. Well, we think that you said something that's wrong, and, and it's like, dude, I'm telling you, you've elevated your traditions of men over the Word of God. Don't believe me. Go read John 10. Go read John 8. Go read Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. Just take the overall view of the enmity between the seed of the serpent, which is the brood of vipers, and Jesus Christ. I'm not making this stuff. I didn't make this stuff up. I didn't read somebody's book that they wrote, 50 years ago or 100 years ago. This is right out of the Gospels of Jesus Christ. Y'all are going to have to deal with this stuff before you can really shake off those shackles. You got to shake these shackles off. We're burdened by the leaven of the Pharisees, which is the traditions of men. And in some of these churches, they go so far, Jesus was inclusive. He was tolerant. And they go out there and they try to point all these women, preachers and pastors and whatnot. And it's like, on the face of it, he didn't appoint one female apostle. Why are you struggling to make friends with the world? Why do you bend over backwards to make friends with the world? Well, we believe that, these homosexual men have callings of God on their life to preach the gospel. And you'd ordain them. And that doesn't even get, then you bow down and you worship a people that has explicitly rejected Jesus Christ. That's what gets me the most. You bend down and grovel before a people and a religion, slice and dice it any way you want. I don't care. Comes down to the same thing. Explicitly have rejected Jesus Christ. And you call them the chosen people? Jesus Christ did not. When Jesus Christ went face to face with the leaders of Judaism, with the followers of the Talmud, he says, you are of your father, the devil. If you believed in Moses, you would have believed in me. At the judgment day, I'm not going to be the one that accuses you. It's going to be Moses that accuses you. Oh, you can't say that. That's anti-Semitic. Jesus is Jew. The father of Jesus Christ is God the Father. His patrilineal descent pattern looks like this. God begot Jesus Christ. Full stop. Jesus Christ directly raised this issue with the Pharisees. Pharisees kept coming to him, asking him and accusing him. He said, hey, guys, I got a question to you. Whose son is the Savior? Oh, it's David's. Well, then why does David say in the Spirit, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit here at my right hand and tell my enemies your feet? How can he be his son if he calls him his Lord? Huh? Well, yeah, Jesus is the one that raised this, and he raised it right to the followers of the Talmud. Yeah, but we want peace with the world, don't we? We want peace with the world because, oh, God, they're going to call you all the dirty names. Nancy. I don't know. Pick your choice. Figure out what you want to do in life. Be faithful. Faithful to the Master or faithful to the world. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. It's the weekend.